teen ministry, and I'll explain it to you just to assuage your curiosity. It says Jesus at 12. So the ministry that we oversaw was called J12, and it was based on the life of Jesus at 12, who at that age knew his identity, knew who he was, knew what he was called to do. And so the seven words he spoke, Luke 2:49, that indicated that, where I must be about my Father's business. And so this whole kind of preteen culture was built around that. And so the t-shirt, as you can see, says Jesus at 12, and then it says L7, live the seven, which means live the seven words of Jesus that he spoke at the age of 12. I must be about my Father's business. Now preteens, being what they are, have looked in other translations and said, it's different. There's more than seven words in another translation. So we're following the New King James with this t-shirt, just to be clear. But Greg Johnson, one of his other things that he would say is that there are two most important days in a person's life. The first one is the day that they were, anyone want to guess? Born. Very good. The second one is the day they find out why. Excellent. Well done. She's been studying. So because we're sharing what God has done, I'm going to share with you just a little story of what God has done in me in revealing to me my why day. So with that, I'm going to get a little bit personal and just put some pictures up there. So that was my when day. Well, not exactly that day. That would be nice, hey? Babies just came looking that way. That was my when day. So he showed me my why day as well. And so as I share this story, there might be familiar parts, things I might have shared before. But to me, my why day, my indication of that, I would consider really started as a teenager. So we were born, or I was born in Lower Sackville, Nova Scotia. And at about the age of 12 or 13, we moved to Calgary, Alberta. And one of the things about me growing up is I loved horses. So I would read every book there was to read about horses, had them all over my walls, loved horses, but never got to ride one. And when we were in Alberta, my parents heard of a camp called Circle Square Ranch. Some of you, if you're familiar with 100 Huntley Street, have heard of it. So when I was 15, I saved up my babysitting money and paid my way to go to this camp so that I could ride horses. And it was great. I got to ride horses, but I also loved the community there so much, and the fact that I was surrounded by people who loved Jesus, and things were a little turbulent at home, so that was a safe place to be, that I decided I was going to go back. So from that time, they had retreats every year for different age groups, so I would go to three or four retreats throughout the year, and then I would spend my entire summers up at the ranch, working in the kitchen, doing camp counseling, riding the horses on the weekends. If you did all your cleanup, you got to ride the horses, so that was great. We could take them out by ourselves. Sometimes we used saddles, sometimes we didn't. All kinds of fun stuff. But it was there at that camp, and that's a picture of it. And John Dumas, I know you're very familiar with this place. We have a mutual friend from there. So at one of the retreats, it was the winter retreat, we had a speaker there by the name of Ed Weiss. And he was sharing about calling and God calling you into something. And he said, sometimes the thing that we think is most impossible is the thing that God is actually calling us to do. So he said, what is the thing that you think is impossible for you? And so I thought about that, and the thing that popped to my mind is, I want to be a junior high youth pastor. So totally out of the blue, up to that point, I was like, oh, I'm going to be a freelance photographer. I'm going to do all kinds of things like that. It's good I didn't pick photography, so if you see my pictures, you'll understand why. But the reason that resonated for me is I had just recently met some new youth pastors, Barry and Audrey Marston. They happen to be our unit supervisors for this church here in Cranbrook. And they had such a powerful impact in my life that I thought, you know what? I want to do that for somebody else. And this is a picture of them there. Some of you might go, oh yeah, I know that guy, I've seen him before. So I came back from that retreat and I had really big plans. I'm going to be a youth pastor. I'm going to go to Bible college. I'm going to get my Bachelor of Theology. I didn't actually know up until maybe 15 years ago what a Bachelor of Theology was. I just knew that people went to Bible college to get one of those. So I was going to do that, and I told Barry and Audrey this and was met with a very affirming response. And in addition to that, I was plugged in at the Calgary Four Square Church, and the pastors there at that time were Grady and Christina Williams. And so Christina ministered powerfully. And so in my mind, there was no reason I could not pursue pastoral ministry. Another piece of it was I realized, okay, if this is what I'm going to do, I can start now. I can start taking my high school courses that I figured would align with being a youth pastor someday. So a bunch of friends in the youth went to a different high school, so I thought, I'm going to switch over to that school. They have more things to offer. And I took drama and choral music and graphic arts, computer processing, typing, worked hard in English, almost failed math. And let me tell you, who knew that a pastor would do so much math? Finances and numbers and percentages and averages. I'm getting much better at it, let me tell you. So I switched schools to pursue this idea of pastoral ministry, and that's my high school there in Calgary, Crescent Heights. Some of you may know of it. And had the big Bible college plans and then received a crushing blow. So my father during this time had been pursuing a career with the RCMP, and in the middle of my grade 12 year, he got his first posting. He had gone through training, and it was in Lac Da Bonnie, Manitoba. And I did everything I could to beg to be left behind, and they said, no, that's not how it's working. You're coming with us, and you'll finish your grade 12 year there. And so I really didn't know what to do. This is what I walked into. It was January, filled with snowdrifts. In fact, the snowdrifts there are so high, when they drove up to the house, they drove straight into a ditch because they thought it was part of the driveway. So it was just level, and it's like, okay, there's the road, and boom. So a lot of snow there. But I spent 6 months there, and when I graduated, bought a plane ticket with some graduation money I had, and flew back to Calgary, still thinking this is what I want to do with my life. And it took me a little while to settle when I moved back. I didn't have resources. I was, you know, on my own, trying to find a place to live, trying to find a job, trying to figure those things out. Quickly realized I had no resources to pursue Bible college. And so after a series of events, I began to help with youth at the Calgary Church. And Barry and Audrey said, you know what? If you feel that you're called to ministry, even without Bible college, we'll train you. We'll spend the time, we'll take the time to train you for that. And they did. They were very diligent that way. And one of the things that was happening is that the Bible college in the Lower Mainland was offering some distance education classes there in Calgary. So I began to do those one at a time to chip away at some of this and potentially receive the mysterious Bachelor of Theology someday. In that time period, Barry and Audrey said, you know what, we feel called to plant a church in Airdrie. And we're looking for somebody to come. We have a Wednesday night home group, but we have all these kids, and we're looking for someone to come and run a children's program. And I talked to them after the service, and I said, I think that's me. So I followed them out to Airdrie, and we began to run a kids program called Good News Bears. So that's just the start of it, and a couple of my friends I hooked into helping me with it. And just began to work there and had this opportunity to be a part of a church plant that was planted in 1992. And shortly after that, about 2 years after that, Ed came into the picture. He moved to Calgary from Victoria, BC, in another whole series of events. We met and dated and got married and began our family. One of the things that happened is that all of these kids you see there actually began to grow up. Well, they were already growing up, but you know what I mean, continued to grow in a very healthy way. And they became youth. And guess who happened to be there, positioned and ready to do junior high youth ministry? And so Ed and I began to work in youth ministry and take over the youth group together. And I couldn't find a picture that was not grainy enough to show you all of our youth, but they grew up into youth. We started with three of those children, ended up with about 40, This gentleman in the picture happens to be the pastor at the Airdrie campus, the Foursquare Church there, Brad Bristow. So that's why I chose him. It's kind of fun. Now, with that, we were there for about 8 years, and then God moved us to the Lower Mainland. We felt this sense that we were supposed to move, to pursue education, to get our kids closer to their grandparents, that kind of a thing. So now we're in Surrey, had a number of difficult years where we didn't quite know where God was going to fit us in and what was going to happen. But in 2007, after volunteering for a while in children's ministry, God opened the door for me to work with preteens, which happened to be the same age group I was working with way back in Airdrie, which happened to be the thing that I said, I believe God's calling me to junior high youth ministry. So just this whole kind of a circle to find myself back with that group. And this is one of our preteen Christmas events where we let them dress up formal and then played all kinds of crazy games. So when I was doing, and I did get to pursue my education. So I did graduate in 2016. I joked that it was the 4-year program in 20 years with a Bachelor of Theology. By the time I graduated, I knew what that was. So I'm pretty thankful about that. I might have had to Google things along the way. But one of our instructors had us do what's called a spiritual mapping, where you take all these sticky notes and you begin to label, here's significant moments that God did. Here's significant people that God has placed in my life. Here are significant events that have occurred. And so I began to do this assignment, and I was already starting to see all this weaving, all these connections where God was knitting the story together or putting it together. You know, the fact that you were doing youth ministry over here and thought that chapter was done, but now you're doing preteen ministry over here. The fact that this, you know, Foursquare youth guy way back in the 90s resurfaces, and I'm partnering with him in learning about preteens and writing articles and doing stuff to begin to learn how to minister to that age group. And then in 2016, we felt a prompting to move. And part of that was initiated by my employer at the time, who said, I believe God's calling you to something else. You've expressed that you believe that to be true. Are you called to be a senior pastor? And so Ed and I talked about that, came to the conclusion that yes. And he said, then you need to hear from the Lord about where you're supposed to be. So we decided that Calgary was a good fit. We wanted to tuck back in under Barry and Audrey, receive some more mentorship, receive some more experience. And so we come in 2016 and began to volunteer under them. Now, this is what it is really cool. There are some people significant. So the people in this picture are Victor and Dorothy Gardner. Victor Gardner was the first Foursquare president of the church in Canada. And I got here last July in Cranbrook, and sometime mid-July, I pulled out one of the file folders in our drawer, and it says New Life History. And I began looking through it, and all of the letters for this church to receive their charter were from Victor Gardner. And Victor Gardner happened to attend the church that we were at in Delta for 15 years. And we had a church picnic just around the time we were starting to ponder what God had for us next. And he was there, and he said, you know what you're called to do. Make sure you pursue that. You know you're called to pastoral ministry. And then he passed away shortly after. That was the last conversation I had with this person who is connected to this body of believers. Now, in this same folder, there was this picture. This is you guys. So Rosemary, it's tucked in at the back there. Dan and Connie up front. Pat Kilpatrick, we happen to know because of our years in youth ministry. So Pat and Joy were a part of our lives back then. We would see each other at conventions. But the gentleman holding the red Bible, wearing the suit, his name is Tom Gardner. And he was here in 1996 for the dedication of this building, the dedication service. So this is a picture from the paper. It just so happens he was my employer and my pastor for 15 years in Delta. So I'm going through this folder going, what? No way. Look at how all of these things connect. And so this is just a picture of, yeah, doing my job there. So God weaving my story, God calling me, putting all of these things together. So going from Lower Sackville to Calgary, to Manitoba, back to Calgary, to Vancouver, to Calgary, to Cranbrook. There was a month at Fort St. John in between, but that's a whole other story. And then meeting somebody from Victoria, BC, in Calgary. And it's not quite how I expected it to turn out. When I was at that ranch and I thought, this is what God is calling me to do, you know, I had it all laid out in my mind. This is how it's going to roll out. But it wasn't at all what I expected. And to me, I would identify that first sense of calling came from that time at the ranch. But the funny thing is back at Christmas, I was going through all of our cards and letters and things that we've been given over the years, and I thought I'm going to digitalize these and get them in the computer and, you know, downsize some of the things we've been hauling all over the country with us. And I read a letter from 1986 when I was back in Nova Scotia volunteering for a vacation Bible school, and in it it said, Carolyn, you have a pastoral heart. And I thought, oh my goodness, I was born to do this. This has been the plan all along through my life, that God has ordained me to follow this path. And it was a real significant moment. So even though things didn't turn out quite as I expected, God wove it all together. And it reminds me of the story of one of my favorite people in the Bible, which is Joseph. Things did not turn out for him as he expected. He had these visions and things that he saw unfolding. And yet there was a whole series of events that God took him through. And Genesis 50:20 says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So Joseph had this understanding, this sense of God in control, God weaving together his story and the events in it. Born for this. So my question to you today is, what were you born for? What is your why day? Obviously, you all have a when day, or you wouldn't be sitting here with me. That would be strange. But all of you also have a why day. So God didn't leave anyone out of the picture. Well, this person has a why, and sorry, you're just here to help with population numbers and, you know, boost Cranbrook and whatever. That's not it at all. Psalm 139, 13 to 16 says, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous at your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. We all have a why day. We were all born for something. So how do you find out? How do you find out what that why day is if you don't know already? A couple of questions I thought of that perhaps would indicate. The first one is, what would you do if you knew you wouldn't fail? If you knew you wouldn't fail. And sometimes we like to add to this just a little bit more, and you had all the money in the world to do it, right? Because sometimes that's one of those things. The next one, what would you do if none of your inhibitions were a factor? Because we all carry some of those. Well, I could never do that. That's not me. What could you do if none of your inhibitions were a factor? What brings you life? What energizes you? I have to say fully, I love my job. I love what I do. It's more than a job to me. It's a calling. It's a vocation. I can't imagine not ever doing it. I've said before, if I have to work at McDonald's, which I did for a number of years, to do this, I will. You know, this is what I love. This is what energizes me. This is what brings me life. And then the same statement I heard many years ago, consider the thing that is most impossible for you in your mind to do. Now consider that could be the very thing that God has called you to. Now, I wonder for some of you if the wheels are turning and going, I want to be an NHL player, perhaps, or I want to be an expert at napping. Could be those, but think of the thing that is the most impossible and consider that God might be calling you to do that. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, we've talked before here about God's boundaries and the freedom we have within those to make choices. And I've talked before about part of our story when we were considering going back to Calgary, where I felt God saying, you know what, wherever you go, I will open doors of ministry for you. In other words, you choose. You choose where you want to be and where you see the best fit. And I believe that's how God's will is played out, that he says, here's the framework. Love God, reach people, love your neighbor, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And within that framework, you have a lot of choices, a lot of choices. And he's gifted you for specific things. So what were you born for? And the question is, are you doing it? And if not, why not? It could be a job that you were born for. It could be a specific activity or way of living you were born for, a specific calling, like I'm called to be an evangelist. And yes, I'm going to work at, you know, this place and evangelize and share my faith. But what were you born for? What is your why day? And if you're not certain, I want to encourage you today not to be discouraged. Remember, God puts together our story over time, and it's possible you're in the middle of that story somewhere, and you don't quite know the end from the beginning or where you're at in the story, if you're 20% along or 40% along in that story, but he's weaving the pieces together. And if you laid out all of those things on a page of sticky notes or whatever, you would begin to see where he's tying it all together. There's something that our youth pastor did with us a number of years ago, and it still has meaning for me today. I actually still have it here. It's a stir stick, coffee stir stick, and this is like multitask. All right, and it goes with this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." And I read both of those verses together because so often, you know, one of those inhibitions that keep us back from pursuing our why day or what we were born for is fear. Right? Well, I don't think I can do that. I don't think that's possible. I don't think I have the gifts for that. And so today, perhaps there's some of you here who are floundering, who've maybe lost your sense of purpose, lost your sense of the why, not really sure what you were born for. And what I want to ask you to do today is I'm going to invite you to stand with me, and I'm going to invite Donnie to come on back up. So go ahead and stand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything scary, I promise. But it says to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of hands. So if you're standing next to somebody and you feel comfortable doing this, I'm going to invite you to just gently put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. Okay? And if that's like, whoa, way out of my comfort zone, you can stay where you are. I'm going to be here after. I'm great, ready to pray with you. But just put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. And we're going to pray today that God would stir up the gifts which are in you through the laying on of hands, that he would stir up new things, that if there's dreams or things you've lost along the way because of circumstances or inhibitions or lack of whatever, that God would revive those again in you. And if you are like, I know my why day, I'm in it, I'm here, that God would just continue to ignite that and energize that within you, that those things would continue to bring you life. So let's go ahead and let's pray. Today, my conviction is that you will walk away with confidence knowing that you were in the sweet spot, that thing that God has created you for, that you were born to do. So Lord, we come to you, and as your scripture says, to stir up the gift of God which is in us through the laying on of hands. Lord, I pray all over this place this morning that you would stir up those gifts. Lord, that you would revive dreams and visions, Lord, that people have had for their lives, that maybe discouragement has set in or disappointment, and they say, you know what, I'm not really sure that I have a purpose or a why day, or I'm not sure what I was born for. God, would you bring clarity in those situations? Lord, would you stir those things up fresh and new? Lord, would you reveal giftings and talents and abilities that are lying dormant in people's lives, Lord God? Would we call awake those things in the name of Jesus and in the power of your Holy Spirit? God, I pray for just the spirit of fear to be driven out in the name of Jesus, that would not hold anyone back, Lord God, from pursuing what you've called them to be. Lord, I pray that there would be just an understanding of each person's story. Lord, that you would begin to reveal snippets of how you've woven their story together. Lord, how you've placed them and planted them in specific areas for a unique purpose. Lord, that there are no accidents in your kingdom and no coincidences. God, I just pray for that revelation. Lord, I pray that people would go with the confidence and conviction that they're doing exactly what you've created them to do. Lord, we pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. All right, you can put hands down now. You're all done. Well done. Good job. Well, I'm going to invite you to remain standing. We're going to close with a song this morning and just celebrate our time together, and then we'll let you go to enjoy the beautiful sunshine.